I went to college in Iowa, to a little tiny college. There were 500 people in my graduating class. And a few years ago, a group of people organized a Facebook group, of course, so that we could continue to have those 2 a.m. hallway conversations that we used to have that are hard to have when you're in the middle of your adult life. And someone posted the past couple weeks that she had her first hard day at home with her children. She has 2-month-old twins who have reflux, which is, you got it. And the 4-year-old apparently had come down with a stomach bug. And at some point late in the afternoon, having been home alone with these 3 children for most of the day, at some point late in the afternoon, she called their father at work and said, "Can you come home? I need help." And what was most notable about this post is that she then said to those of us in the imaginary hallway, "I feel like a failure as a parent." It's perfect. And the 1,000 or so of us sitting in that imaginary college hallway jumped on her post and said, "No, no, no, this is a success. You asked for help when it was needed. You needed it. Your children needed more than one person could possibly give. Knowing when you need other people, either to just hear what's on your heart or to actually physically, tangibly help you, that's a wild success." She didn't respond. I don't know if she was swamped with all that was going on with those children or why, but I thought about her story for a long time and thought about how often we think that we do have to handle any of a number of things by ourselves, and then if we don't, it's somehow a sign that we're not enough in some way. And I think about it a lot, about how our culture has deeply isolated us from each other, how we tend to read this rather than grapple with whatever is actually on our hearts. And we come together in churches in ways that are unusual. And in truth, we are fairly isolated from each other here, too. We struggle to show each other our true thoughts and questions. We shy away from revealing our actual struggles. I am like this, too. I call it being a private person. And in this community, sometimes the stakes feel a little higher because we are so close to each other, our lives overlapping. And I think this is the place where we can take hold of those little openings that are here and aren't always other places and find each other more often. I was at this workshop for Joanna Macy a couple of weekends ago, and one of the amazing things that Joanna Macy offers in her work is an absolute belief that that deep sense of connection, that asking each other for help, that knowing what's really going on with each other is absolutely possible. The connection with other people, with the rest of the planet, with the past and the future is all part of our being human. The connection to the present world, while hard to feel on some days, is fairly comprehensible to us. And the connection to the past, well, we read history. If we're lucky, we're Facebook friends with Barbara from Kunis, and we get little updates about history being discovered right now in Exeter. And the thing that I have discovered recently from Joanna Macy's work that has shifted my way of understanding what's possible about connection is that we are profoundly connected to the future as well, that we carry the future in our bodies. We know we carry our ancestors in our bodies. We have their DNA, we have features from their faces, we have even their manner of saying things sometimes. And so it is that the future is in us. We just don't know how it will play out yet, but we're carrying it all the time. So at the workshop that I attended a couple of weeks ago, Joanna Macy took us on a journey that she has done over and over and over again through the decades. She has been leading people in this soul work and connection work for as long as I have been alive. And this exercise that I'm going to share with you this morning is called the Seventh Generation Exercise. And in it, the voice of someone from seven generations into the future is able to reach back to us for just a few moments and give us a little glimpse of that future that they are in. And they are curious about our lives as well. So during this exercise, I will provide that voice from the future for you and invite you to be in this present moment. You may wish to write down some of your responses to the questions that the future being asks you, and you will find some slightly unusual paper in your hymnal racks. Or you may wish to simply sit and be still during this time. The ushers have pencils if you need a writing implement, and I have more paper if your row is full of writers and you need some. A little ping of golf pencils hitting the floor is its own sort of singing bowl sound. In this exercise, we will suspend our disbelief for a few minutes in order to give ourselves access to two things. One is a sense of connection to lives beyond those lives that are in this room right now. We are quite sure that we are connected, but we rarely put our minds there. Allow the edges of our awareness to expand. And this exercise lets us experiment with that. Which means that you also have to agree to two assumptions in order to participate in this. And those are that there are human communities in the future and that they are in good enough condition and strong enough that they have a good cultural memory and are able to remember our time and ask us about it. Are those assumptions that you can agree to? And so this exercise is for you to listen for or imagine what the future beings might want to know. It is intended to give us some access to part of our inner lives that we mostly don't make time for, or that we keep pushing to the edges of our lives because it's so big. This is the part of ourselves that is full of longings and fears and hopes about the future of humans and all creatures on this planet. So what we're getting at is not so much the facts as how you feel about the present and the future. We go backwards frequently, and now we turn our minds and go forward. Join me on a journey between the centuries. 7 generations from now is about 200 years into the future. It's about twice as long as some of our most elder people have lived. In this moment, right now, the future beings can see you. They can hear what is in your mind and on your heart. That future gets a glimpse of you and says, "How stunning it is to make contact with you. The world is full of wonders, and you are one of them. I have heard so much about your time. So much was happening. It must have been hard to figure out what to do. The storm was swirling around you. We study your time in history books, and I have read everything that I could about you. But the thing that is not in the history books is just what it felt like to be alive during your time. How do you pay attention to all of it? How do you figure out what's really happening? And how do you feel about all of that? Tell me, write it down, or just have clear thoughts for a moment about what it is like for you to be alive in your time." another one of the future beings gets a glimpse of you here now and says, oh, what a joy to make contact with you, to be able to hear from you directly. I'm so glad to see you. When I was a child, we did a play at school about some of the leaders of your time. And the play was about all of the things that got accomplished. And I am so glad for what you accomplished. And I am happy to have a moment to hear your thoughts, because I've always been curious, how did you get started? In the face of all that was happening, how did you get started on your work for the world? Tell me, I would love to see it in your handwriting or hear your thoughts. I want to know. And one last person peeks through from the future. It is a joy to make contact with you. I am so pleased to get a sense of who you are. History is so big, there are so many people. I am grateful to hear just your thoughts. We tell stories now about your time to encourage each other now, to remember how many people worked for so long, how far we've come. And things are better now. And that keeps us going. When we look back at your time, we can see that it mattered less exactly what you did than that you kept going. So I wonder what keeps you going in your time? What energizes you? What keeps you from giving up? Tell me, I want to know. Our moment of connection, our moment for stretching our sense of what is possible is open now. The answers that your mind has offered you are your answers for now. And everything is in the process of changing. And so we keep listening. Keep looking for places where we can open to connections that don't usually seem possible. And I give you these words from one of the poets who, at the same time that she was very much in this world, also seemed to be a little bit of a voice from the future, Maya Angelou. My wish for you is that you continue to be who and how you are, to astonish a mean world with your acts of kindness. Continue to allow humor to lighten the burden of your tender heart.